Maybe I can sort of introduce a question in lieu of some of the others, and I'm sure there will be other questions. Particularly, I know one of the problems you introduced, very first problem, that of the hugeness of machinery. And Sri Aurobindo's statement about the vanishing point is a great sort of concern with one of our attendees, Rich Carlson, with whom I've had many conversations on this subject. The question over there has to do with this idea of a vanishing point for machinery. What is very interesting is that indeed, when Sri Aurobindo was writing that particular comment in the second chapter of The Life Divine, we had just embarked upon the whole regime of the disappearance of machinery in a subtle or subtler transmission, telecommunication revolution. And he's talking about wireless telegraphy over there. But so this question of the vanishing point, which is in a sense something, because today, I mean, we have reached a point where we are ubiquitous all over the world. We can contact anybody at just the push of a button. We take it for granted today. But at the same time, there is a kind of invisible machinery behind it. Though we seem to have, reduced the mechanical sort of devices, the huge machinery has not disappeared. And we are, in a sense, being ruled by a variety of conditioning forces that are utilizing this disappearance.
Yeah, that's true.
Tomorrow, people like the Ray Kurzweil are talking about, people like Ray Kurzweil, whom you introduced, are talking about a new kind of biology in which there are implants and all kinds of bionic devices, which we can't see. We see human beings just like human beings. They're so subtle that they have entered into our body. But as a matter of fact, they have provided a certain kind of a circuit within which the free market can operate even more freely. That, in a sense, as you are pointing out, the demise of communism has brought into play this free market in which the individual is not free enough. There isn't enough freedom of choice of the deeper sort, of the impersonal sort, so that individuals are constantly being conditioned by market forces of self-interest and greed. So would you like to comment on that, Kirichi, particularly on this reverse use, this one may say using, Sri Aurobindo's terminology, an asuric disappearance of theory to the vanishing point is with us today?
But actually, this question that you raise has many aspects. And let me first speak of the present movement of market economy. I take this illustration of market economy because many people believe that market economy is based upon the philosophy of freedom of the individual. Because in market economy, every individual is considered to be free as an entrepreneur. Every individual can enter the market, is to enter the market, and can compete with all the peers, and he make his mark in the society and can succeed and can gain whatever he aims at getting. He can work in the society, as it were, as a field, but not as a master. The society does not tell him what he should do, how he should do, how he should go about. In that sense, you say that market economy advocates the freedom of the individual. And many people believe that market economy is a kind of an ideal system, and with the collapse of communist system in Soviet Union, people believe that now there is a reassertion of freedom of man, freedom of the individual, freedom of the market development, and therefore humanity now being freed. This is the kind of reasoning which is being put forward. Now, the statement that you made is very important, because the question is it really true that in a market economy, individuals are free? First of all, we must know that those individuals who say they are free to enter into markets, if you examine really the claim of those individuals who can really enter into the global markets, are those individuals who have some kind of backing of a system of inheritance. It's a subtle kind of social machinery. If there was no system of inheritance, if there was no law to support inheritance, if there was no machinery of inheritance, then most of the so-called free individuals would not have felt the freedom to enter into the free market. So that is one machinery. Machinery which has not been questioned for centuries and centuries, and even in the present time. And the right to property is regarded as sacrosanct. A right which was questioned in the communist philosophy is now being reasserted in the name of freedom. But we do not realize that this so-called freedom is itself a kind of a machinery. We have a system of inheritance as a result of which property rights are being protected by the society, and society has got to protect it by law. These are all machineries. It is by machinery that some individuals are able to enter into markets, free markets, and begin to play a big role. And other individuals are told, you also are free. How illusory this freedom is for those individuals who watch the big tycoons moving about in the world is really to be seen in realistic terms. They believe that they are free, perhaps. I do not know how far they feel that they are free. It is true that some individuals do feel free, and they exercise freedom, and they can enter into that larger market by some kind of circumstances and favorable circumstances, hard labor on their part, and so on. But can we say that it is the operation of the whole of the in the society of the principle of freedom? Is every individual equally free to enter into the global market? Legally, you might say, yes, in law, nobody will prevent him. But what is the condition in which individuals are placed? Are individuals placed in equality by law? Not at all. This is one machinery. Second is a big machinery, market itself. Market is being run by three machineries. One is a machinery by which goods are produced. Secondly, there is a machinery by which goods are distributed. And thirdly, there is a machinery of administration by which this production and distribution are managed. So you have got three machineries. And these three machineries, all of them take advantage of the power of science in regard to productivity. And science itself is an impersonal force which is developing its own way. And there also there are machines by which science is developing. And the march of science in also have to be like almost like a machinery. They have to submit themselves to the progression and the direction in which the science is moving today. This also is machinery. And thirdly, the whole world today is greatly organized by a system of administration. Not only economic administration, of which I spoke just now, but administration in every field of activity. There is a political machinery by which leaders are being elected, and we know what kind of machinery is working and to what extent individuals are free in this machinery. Those who are examining political philosophy of democracy acutely, they have come to the conclusion that this is a pseudo-democracy. Or that democracy is the best of all evil forms of government. No, it is best, but it is best of evil forms. And capitalism is regarded as one of the best economic structures, but one of the most evil economic structures, best of the economic structures, which are evil, all of them. So in politics as a machinery, even in regard to healthcare, there is a machinery. In education, there is machinery. In fact, everywhere where we turn today, our life is a timetable ruled life. So what we call freedom of man is hardly there is time even to later to think even. There is everywhere there is machinery. In fact, you touch anywhere your hand and there is machinery. You build a house, we now speak of the prefabricated houses, in which everything is pre-designed and machines roll out all that you need for a housing. This is not to deny the fact that there is a vast field of art, creativity, literature, poetry. But even artists today know how much machinery is at work and how much even individual artists find it difficult to really exercise freedom in their own art. So I agree with you that there are various layers of machineries today in which our whole society is encased. And it is against this fabrication of machinery and binding of the society within machineries of various kinds, it is that which reduces the individual to be a cog in the machine. Sister, what do you think about these reflections which I presented to you?
Yes, Kirit Bhai, I agree. That really brings to focus this problem of the individual in modern world. And, you know, the tremendous difficulty that is faced by us today in even having time and space to allow the growth of the soul. I just wanted to mention that. And then if anybody else has any questions, please come forward.
Yes.
I had a question. This is Keka. Given all the external perfections, like no economic problem and no fights and no agitations. All kinds of perfections, even if we have externally. Do you think that there will be still some internal problems like boredom, sense of insecurity, and lack of communication, some kind of sense of gap in communication, things like that?
Well, you are quite right. Our main emphasis is upon the fact that basically individual is a seeker of freedom. It is because of circumstances that he is obliged to submit himself to society and to machinery. Or sometimes he really recognizes the importance of society, because there is no doubt about the fact that collectivity is also a reality and collectivity is also a meaning. While speaking of individual freedom and the value of individual, we need not underestimate the importance of the collectivity, the importance of the collectivity, even the need for collective perfection. But while we look upon the present society as a big machine, we do have to reckon the fact that individual is bound to feel suffocated under the impress of the machinery. And what you are saying, the problems of boredom, problems of oppression, problems of anxiety, problems of various kinds of competitive forces which are at work, and this feeling of fear of the future, and therefore what we call existential problems, they are rampant today all over the world. And it is for that reason that we need to examine problems more acutely. My problem is that we are not at present, first of all, analyzing the problems more clearly, and we are driven away by the impress of one ism or the other and try to defend one position against the other, and we are not able to arrive at a very synthetic method of looking at things. What I find in Sri Aurobindo so refreshing is a new way of thinking, feeling and acting. And this new feeling, a new way of thinking, is this synthetic way of looking in which all points of view are synthesized. And I think that, as Sri Aurobindo says, that we have to move towards what he calls whole consciousness, consciousness of integrality. And it is only with the integral vision of things that the problem of the individual and society can be resolved. So I agree with you that these problems which you are speaking of, they do exist and they do require a solution.